All right. Happy Friday, guys. It is Friday, August 23rd, 2019, and you have tuned in once again to the FDN Fantastic Friday Call. So welcome, welcome. I am one of your hosts, Brandon Molay, FDN mentor, clinical advisor, and proud FDN practitioner. And my co-host, Brendan Vermeyer, he can say the same things plus a whole lot more. He's a busy guy doing a lot of good work, and he's AFDNP director on top of that. So I guess that's why he can do it all. He's not married with children, so maybe that's one reason. Or he's just a Superman. Somehow he does a lot of stuff. So we're here with you today again on another Friday to check in, to give you a few updates with the course and what's going on with the activities around FDN, and of course to answer questions. That's what we do sort of mostly the past year or so, but then a lot of Q&A, and it seems to be working pretty well. Get good feedback on our questions and the answers that we give there, and we're helping people. So we're speaking to anybody out there, somebody's looking to take this course and get a feel for who we are and what we do and what you can accomplish with an FDN certification and being part of our community to trainees. You know, you're going through the course, making your way through, and we want to help you to do that most efficiently and enjoyably as we can. And, of course, graduates too, right? You guys have questions, you're out there doing that work. Welcome to jump in and talk to us also. So if you want to call in, this is a live show right now anyhow, maybe listening to the recording, but if you want to call in and ask a question, that number is 347-637-1378. Again, 347-637-1378. Just hit one on the keypad and I'll bring you on. A lot of you guys, again, are lighting up here on the switchboard. Glad to see you guys on with us. Thanks for tuning in. You can answer a question too, or make a comment, or just say hi. Just hit one on the keypad and we will bring you on. So this is the FDN Support Talk Radio is what it says here, but FDN, so Functional Diagnostic Nutrition. I think definitely a gift from heaven. I've told people this week pretty often, and clients would agree with me, and trainees, graduates would. What a wonderful thing we've been given to be able to work and improve people's health and their lives long-term. So tremendous. But, again, we come to you guys every single week, just about every single week. Mixed sometimes. Sometimes I'm doing solo show. Sometimes it's just Brendan. Sometimes we have Tess or Brandy on another mentor on to fill in. But, again, we want to just keep you guys posting on things going on and answer whatever questions we have in the time that we have. So, I'll say hey to Brendan here. He's been traveling, so maybe Brendan, you want to give us a little update on your travel blog there?
Yeah, man. Great to be here. I really do appreciate. You know, it's kind of ironic timing with what you said, and I really do appreciate the kind words because, I've been busting my butt this year, and it's interesting because I did. I just got back from Portland on Sunday from like 4 or 5 day trip, and then it was right into a super demanding work week, and I was kind of fighting off like a little bit of sickness, and so it was one of those like last night I was kind of crashed and burnt, and so today and this weekend is a lot of self-care and kind of reevaluating of like, okay, Brendan, it's great to do all these great things and pour out your heart to all these people and projects, but don't forget to take care of yourself. So always good. But yeah, I always love talking to you, man. I always feel very grounded, with our conversations, and I always feel like we're kind of right in the same frequency, like we were saying off the air a second ago. But I was out in Portland for the annual naturopathic convention. So that's the AANP, like American Association of Naturopathic Physicians. So big convention. It was at the convention center in Portland, beautiful venue, great show. Got to see a lot of my friends and colleagues, got to hang out with Carrie Jones a little bit. We were supposed to grab dinner, but she got sick, and there seemed to be some food poisoning going around at that thing, so I don't know. Anyways, but it was cool, though. I've been to a lot of these different conferences, and they're all a little bit different depending on the theme and the style. Some of them are super, functional medicine and more medical doctors. Some of them are a little bit more kind of a mixture. Some of them have a lot more kind of energetic stuff. But it was cool, this one, because it was just pure naturopaths. So just all naturopathic physicians everywhere you look. And they definitely have their own style, their own vibe, very valuable professionals, I believe. I personally, confirmation bias, obviously. I'm a very proud FDN and FDN ambassador, so maybe I'm biased, but I just really, I've seen a lot of this industry, and I really don't see anything quite like FDN. I really don't think there's any other professional that puts it all together the way that we do. We do a very sophisticated and in-depth, you know, functional analysis with lab testing, combining it with holistic health and lifestyle-based principles, working on the lifestyle, the environment. I don't know. We kind of do it all. So I was just saying to Brandon off the air, like, I'd love to see more naturopathic physicians go through the FDN program. I think that would be a pretty dangerous professional right there. I think with the background that naturopaths have combined with kind of the cutting edge lab testing, and then also the just our style, our methodology, the way that we do things. But, you know, same to be said for personal trainers and nutrition coaches. I really think FDN brings all together. So I'm going to keep doing my part to try to, you know, draw some of these other valuable professionals in, because we need a lot more of us, you know. And I really do think FDN practitioners are kind of the tip of the spear when it comes to this chronic disease epidemic. So anyways, it was a great show, great connections, and I'm sure FDN will have some cool stuff coming from all these things that I'm doing.
Indeed, you're a great ambassador on a whole lot of levels, and just letting people know that you exist. That's, I think, the biggest, that's one of the biggest challenges just in business. If you're a practitioner, is we can do awesome work and help a lot of people. We know how we're trained to do that very well, but sometimes it's just people don't know that you're around, that you exist. Obscurity is the problem. So, and the FDN course has that same challenge, right? Any business is going to. So if you don't know that something exists, there's a solution to your problem, you can't have that solution. That problem won't be resolved. So, yeah, you just have to be out there and speak and talk and exemplify that. And just like you were saying there, Brendan, with balance, we have to live that life too. I think we all have those times where we get a little out of balance. But you have to know your limits and take that rest time and recover, and that'll help you sustain and maintain and keep going over the long term. That's what we want to do. So tremendous. Yeah, FDN is 10 years old as of last year. So last Saturday, I think I mentioned this last week, but last Saturday was my, I think it's 8 years official graduation date was 8 years ago. So I think I started a year before that with the course. So yeah, it's pretty cool. I was looking at that.
Congratulations.
I had that on my calendar. Yeah, I'm proud to say that. So
yeah.
It's been a long time, and there have been some changes since then, but I would say nothing monumental and earth-shaking, which that's nice. And I think that's the reason I think that's nice, because we know we've got the fundamentals. And, you know, truth doesn't really change, you know? So that's good.
Yeah.
We got to rewrite the book on FDN.
I really like that. I really like that, because, you know, the industry is exploding, and it's growing so quickly. And, you know, part of the maybe concern is a nice way to put it, that, you know, I kind of have is there's a lot of sensationalism in our industry, kind of the holistic health, functional medicine, whatever. And I see it as sometimes distracting, because there's so much information out there. And, you know, what's the shiny new lab test? What's the sexy new supplement that everybody's using? But I like what you're saying, and I could not agree more. It's, you know, the foundational principles have always been the same, and I think FDN really has mastered that. So I really like that. I just want to comment real quick.
Yep. No, it just makes me feel good. You know, there's always and with that, with the new stuff, it's always the, oh, do I know enough? Is that something new I don't know about? Am I going to get good results? I don't know. That's something if you're an FDN practitioner, you don't have to worry about that. Is there cool new stuff and new things to check out? Sure there is. That's awesome. That's a great thing about just an industry and everything moving forward. But, you know, being scared that you don't know enough and you can't help a person just because you hear about something new. I've seen enough stuff come down the pipe to know that it's not gonna shake your boat for very long, which is a really good thing. So just stick to those principles, and that's the answers we give on a lot of these questions that we have. It comes back to some foundational things, some principles that you just want to stick by. I've had several clients this morning, personal clients this morning, and I'm flying high because everybody's doing great. You know, is everything perfectly resolved? No. Is it getting there? Yeah, it sure seems like it is. But just for their work and their effort that they're putting in, that I was just so proud of them. It's like a proud parent. It's like, wow, everything I've asked you to do, you've been doing, it's working. You're learning about your own body. You're picking up on things that you're changing. You like what you're doing better. Your body's shifting, biochemistry shifting. Your desires for food and drink are shifting. Your mindset shifting. You can be the wife, mother that you want to be. All these just wonderful things occurring. So it's gratifying. It's fun. I love it when you have a day like that where everything's just flowing and just wonderfully. But you know, there's going to be times when there's going to be some roadblocks. And with those same people I'm talking about, we had a few roadblocks along the way. There are some things that, okay, we got to lock arms, get over that thing, and keep going. And if I wasn't there, not to be toot my own horn, but wasn't there and we weren't partnering together to figure that thing out, we wouldn't have got past that. So you can't get too high with the highs and too lows with the lows in this business too. That's where you got to get back to the foundationals and keep those things in there. Make sure that client listens to their own body and gives things some time also.
Yeah.
But you'll get there. You'll get there.
I think you should be my life coach, man.
Oh, we should talk more often. We should.
I know, really, though. I wish we lived closer.
Cool. I know. All right. Well, hey, I want to I'll tell you what, announcement-wise, real quick, Brendan Munch, why don't you tell us about this edition of the OAT training here. Heard we're going to have an awesome instructor for the conference.
Heck yeah, confirmation bias. Yeah, we've got so much good stuff going on in the AFD&T, and we've got obviously the conference coming up. It's going to be here before you know it, guys. I mean, we're really just 2 months out at this point. So if you didn't see or you haven't heard yet, it is official. I'll be teaching a 4-hour organic acid workshop on Sunday after the conference. So the conference is going to be amazing. We'll be posting updates on that, obviously. But after the conference ends, around 12:30 or whatever, we'll have like an hour and a half lunch break. And then we're going to be doing a 4-hour live organic acid workshop with me. It's going to be a lot of fun. I'm really excited to teach the material live because I really want to get a interactive experience so we can all really learn together. There's nothing better than live teaching where we can answer questions and go through stuff and really cultivate knowledge as a live group. So the workshop will be recorded. I've been asked that numerous times already. I believe the cost of the workshop, I want to say, is $200. Now, here's the thing, though. Like, this is kind of cool. We are, I am creating a FDN advanced organic acid course. So just like all of the other advanced courses we have, we currently have 5 really, and this will be the 6th. And Jen already alluded to it once, so I feel safe in kind of hinting at it a little bit further, where this organic acid course is going to be the final course to qualify you for the FDN level 2 designation. That's something we're working on behind the scenes, and we will be probably announcing more probably at the conference. So anyways, the nice thing is if you attend the organic acid workshop, you get access to the online advanced course included into that $200 or $250 price point. So the full price of the course is probably going to be about $450-ish. It's going to be kind of right in alignment with the other advanced courses we already offer. So really, like, the best deal hands down would be to attend the live workshop for like $200. You get the advanced course online. There will be the recordings available if you're not able to make it. I know not everybody's going to be able to be there. So super duper exciting project there. And then, like I said, it's kind of all building up to the FDN level 2 credential that we've been working on. So a lot of other stuff, but I'll leave it at that because that's pretty big, pretty exciting, and I couldn't be more excited to see you guys there.
Yeah, boy, that's three big announcements there. That's tremendous. I didn't know about the getting to add the course there with it if you go and attend it live. So that's, boy, that's a great deal. That's an awesome package there for sure. And then, yeah, FDN Level 2, that's been something, yeah, we've been in the works for a while. So people have asked for that. They want to go, you know, have a little more different designation there and have some extra training there. And those modules are awesome. If you've taken them, they're great just on their own. They're worth easily the price. They're underpriced, I would say. And they're pretty easy to get through and super practical and valuable. As far as thyroid panel or the thyroid module, the functional blood chemistry, I use them all the time, like weekly, multiple times a week. So super useful as a practitioner there. So that's awesome to know. And yeah, the conference, guys, is coming up. So the website is ftnconference.com. Aptly named there. You can check out the details there. It's the 1st through the 3rd November this year, 2019, in San Diego. So good stuff. We've got a great speaker lineup coming up there. All the labs are going to be there, all the supplement companies that we're used to. Technology is going to be there, the technology companies, which is awesome. Good time to network and connect with people and just learn and get a good shot in the arm with your business there. It's going to be great. So Jen's always got something up her sleeve there, good things going on, so you guys won't be disappointed. So, and also there's usually some sort of promotion going on. Check your email on that. It's like always something there, either bringing a friend and getting a discount, VIP lunch with Reed, all sorts of cool things right there. So always trying to help you guys be encouraged to attend or to have somebody else attend. I know we've had several. Last year we had several people that were looking at taking the course, and, you know, by the end of the weekend they'd signed up for the course and ready to go. So it'll be great. So you guys make plans to join us for that. We'll see you in person there in San Diego. All right. Cool then. Awesome. Let's see. I think I've got a few graduates to read off, as we do almost every week. So we want to say congratulations to these four amazing folks. Had good conversations with every one of them, and again, it's just an exciting thing to hear. One of the questions they'll always ask is, you know, what brings you to the course, and then what are your plans with the course? And that's really exciting to see, because people come from all sorts of backgrounds, right? So people that don't even have a quote natural or medical background at all, that was me, a lot of other people, and then you're taking the course. What are you going to do with it? Is it going to be, you know, just for your own health or friends and family? That's a valid thing to do for sure, to help your loved ones that way. Is it a part-time thing that you're doing? Maybe adding it to what you're already doing? Or is it a total career change and you're going full-time, you're going all in? We're happy with whatever you do, as long as you're successful and being happy with the certification and you got what you wanted out of it and you get to use it. And if you have challenges with any of that, we've got lots of postgraduate support with the community, with the Medical Director Program, AFCMP. We're there to help you. So we'll do whatever we can to help you be a success. So, but these four people are definitely going to be successful here. So we want to say congratulations to these four. We've got Michelle Stanford, and she's from Georgia. Anouk Dominguez, and she's from the Netherlands, originally from the Caribbean. Kara Perrone, she's from Illinois. And then Mary Grigsby, she's from North Carolina. Guys, awesome job. Congratulations. So proud. Maybe the first one for the Netherlands. That might be another one there. So how cool. We're all over the world doing amazing work, and the world needs us. They need you to help out. Do what we can to make it a better place. Sounds cheesy, but that's okay on a Friday afternoon. But it's true.
Oh, I'm right there with you, man.
It's real. So, all right, well, we've got some questions to answer. We've got a good portion of the show left here, about 40 minutes or so. So welcome to answer questions. If you guys want to make a comment or say hello again, you can do that. If you're on the line right now, just hit 1 on the keypad or dial 347-637-1378. If you're listening on Blog Talk Live there, hit 1 on the keypad, and again, I'll bring you on, and we'll talk. So good stuff. All right, so let's start out with one here. Brendan, I think you might be able to contribute heavily to this one. This one says, does anyone know what would help a 15-year-old female with endometriosis? This is a trainee asking about it also. So don't have a lot of detail with this one, but I work with children and teenagers both. Some I know, Brendan, you got a lot of experience with that too, especially the hormonal side of things. So what could you do for a 15-year-old girl that's dealing with endometriosis?
Yeah, you know, unfortunately, super common these days, just like everything else, bad due to our crazy culture that we're, you know, drowning in. But endometriosis, so obviously with the FDN method, you know, we're not going to hyper-focus on the disease or the condition that's been diagnosed or the label, because that's kind of, you know, it's kind of misleading. What's really going on? Well, a lot of metabolic chaos that we've got to really get to the root of and work out, and obviously apply all the fundamentals of a holistic, healthy lifestyle with our dress protocol. So with, you know, endometriosis, okay, very much a estrogen driven condition. So obviously it's not our job to treat endometriosis. Our job is to empower them and educate them on what's going on with their body at that root cause metabolic level. So as we're doing all the basic principles and we're using our fundamental testing to investigate, you know, I could talk on and on about that, but to kind of dive right in, you know, we definitely want to evaluate the estrogen in particular, and the estrogen as part of the bigger, you know, HPA endocrine system. And then, of course, also what might be driving some of the hormone dysfunction. So there's kind of multiple pieces we have to tackle. So, you know, if the 205 is your go-to hormone test, then by all means, run that 205. What's going on with the estradiol, the testosterone ratio, just everything that we teach you guys in the FDN course. I am kind of partial to the Dutch test. I think it would be able to provide a little bit more insight within that realm, especially because one of the things that has made the Dutch test really famous is with the estrogen metabolism, and obviously with my good friend Carrie being kind of the hormone queen, and that's all that she lectured about in Portland last week was estrogen detox. That's her jam. And, you know, just hanging out with her long enough, you start learning a thing or two about estrogen detox. So, you know, endometriosis is generally caused because there's too much estrogens, right? Whether it's your primary estrogens, E1, E2, and then E3 is almost like a 1.5 estrogen or something. It's actually 16-OHE2 is what estriol is. So E3 estriol is actually 16-hydroxyestradiol. So it's kind of technically like a phase one metabolite. But either way, you know, you want to check those primary estrogens and then see what that estrogen metabolism is looking at. So I don't want to get too, like, technical on the call, but if this is Carrie's analogy. She always describes it. I used to describe it as a sink, but then I heard Carrie describe it as a bathtub, and I was like, that actually fits a lot better. So, you know, with a bathtub, like, you want to fill up the bathtub so you can take a bath, right? So how do you control the water level in the tub? Well, you've really got two variables to play with. You have the faucet and how much water is going into the tub, and you've got the drain, how much water is draining out of the tub. So if you want a bath, you know, you've got to fill that bathtub up to a certain level. You don't want it to overflow, but you don't want it to be too low, because then, you know, only your bum is going to be sitting in the water, and that's not very, very cozy. So this is how we have to kind of modulate the estrogen metabolism. And, you know, primarily, the first thing we want to do is check that influx of the water. So we have to be thinking about their overall stress and hormonal function. You know, how much, you, obviously, as we've all been trained, you know, pregnenolone and then cortisol, and, you know, cortisol kind of being upstream from your sex hormones. And, you know, under stress, a lot of that pregnenolone kind of diverts towards stress hormones rather than fertility hormones. That's sort of a evolutionary adaptive survival response. But then also, too, we have to really be thinking about the fact that the aromatase enzyme that converts your androgens into your estrogens is highly influenced by eicosanoids and cytokines through inflammatory signaling. So anytime we have excess inflammation, it does tend to drive excess production of estrogen. So one of the very first things I'm always looking at is that testosterone-estradiol ratio, if we're looking at sort of a estrogen-driven condition like endometriosis or anything else. So if we've got high levels of our primary estrogens, I think primarily we want to be thinking about kind of doing our part to reduce the conversion of androgens to estrogen. We're trying to modulate that aromatase activity. And yeah, there's a lot of different compounds that can maybe do that. Diindolymethane or DIM is, you know, has some of those properties. But then we have to check that phase one metabolism. But guys, keep in mind, phase one, you know, we're activating these estrogens, we're hydroxylating them, we're making them water soluble, but they're also more highly reactive. They can turn into the quinones and then damage your DNA, kind of causing these adducts or gaps or holes in your DNA that, you know, leads to cancer and a lot of bad things. So we don't want to just, you know, jump straight to diindolymethane because that's what everybody does. So as Carrie would put it, you know, we want to start from the bottom and work our way up primarily. Of we've got to unplug, you know, if we're trying to reduce the water level in the bathtub, we've got to unplug the drain. We've got to get some drainage going. And where does that really start? Well, actually, your gastrointestinal tract. So we really want to focus on proper bowel movements every day. You know, the fiber, the you know, proper motility through the gut. Because, yeah, you literally poop out a lot of your estrogens and a lot of your waste products. And so, you know, that's where the beta-glucuronidase can come in. So first, be thinking about healthy bowel movements, urinary bile acids with enterohepatic recirculation. This is where calcium D-glucarate can come in a little bit. So a lot of times, I will use something like calcium D-glucarate before something like DIM, because if you're not draining the water and all you're doing is kind of speeding up the phase one, well, we're creating all these active estrogens, whether the 2-OH, 4-OH, or 16, and everybody says, like, oh, 4-OH is bad, 2-OH is good, and diindolymethane increases 2-OH. It's like, well, 2-OH isn't good, it's just less bad. So, anyways, I'm going to wrap this up a little bit more concisely rather than giving a full lecture. So start with the basics, work on the bowel movements, work on the gut health, work on the UBUS and enterohepatic circulation. Be considerate of the dysbiosis, the gut health, the beta-glucuronidase. Maybe you can warrant a little bit of calcium D-glucarate. You'd be amazed at what 500 milligrams calcium D-glucarate can do for estrogen dominance or estrogen-driven conditions really pretty quickly. It's very powerful. I would never go over 1,000 milligrams, to be honest. But then once you've got that under control, bowel movements are good, you're kind of draining the tank. All right, well, let's start, you know, changing how much water is flowing in now. That's where we can do some of the diindolymethane or like the broccoli sprouts can be very helpful for modulating phase one. But ultimately, though, I want to challenge you guys to think about the bigger picture of, you know, stress and the different types of stress and what's driving the inflammation, but also, you know, the exposure, right? So all the different environmental toxins, the BPA, the phthalates, the xenoestrogens, the phytoestrogens, you know. So I think if we really focus on cleaning up the lifestyle, the diet, reducing stress, identifying triggers of inflammation and oxidative stress, which is generally going to be bugs and toxins, which is kind of my whole focus, that's the stuff that's really going to be driving it. But we can use some of these little strategies to very quickly modulate those estrogen pathways, which can be very, very powerful by itself. So that was probably like hours of content packed into a few minutes.
You did a good, concise job, because that's a big question. It is. You want to go down a lot of trails with that. Mm-hmm. But no, I think it's good. I think it's a good balance that you're striking here, because, yes, the short answer is just do the FGM, because you're going to cover a lot of those basic things that we need to do anyhow, especially with a 15-year-old. But then at the same time, it's okay to think a little more specific to what that person is dealing with, right? So, example, this, so like endometriosis, a client this morning I had, well, she has diabetes, type 2 diabetes. So even though I'm not trying to cure or fix or focus too much on her type 2 diabetes, I looked at the hormone test I had. I had a Dutch panel, I had a GI map, an HTMA, an MRT, metabolic typing, and all these things I'm looking at here with this person. So I'm addressing some of the things I'm seeing on those tests, but at the same time I was thinking, okay, you know, it's diabetes, right? So there's some obvious things here that might be at play also. A lot of them are covered with the FDN, but in this case, I threw some things in there for some blood sugar support, see if we can bring some balance here to this, and then we can improve the situation there. So there is a balance here between the general support, the general ways of things, and then if you know something specific is going on, and usually the lab testing is going to give you some clues to that, you might work in something a little more specific for that case. So there is some balance to strike here. And yeah, we'll say, too, that it's tough to be a 15-year-old these days, right? So there's could be a whole lot of other factors going on here besides, you know, the physical, but mental, emotional, and just, you know, the world that we live in. So that's where, like Brendan was saying earlier, with FDN, we're one of the best people at looking at being trained to look at the comprehensive approach, and that's so many different areas to look at. We have to look at things from many, many angles, and so that's why we have the methodology that we have, and the checklist in your mind or a written checklist you're going to go through with every single person. You're going to make sure all these things are being addressed or uncovered, and because it's a complete process, because you really don't know what thing's going to make the biggest difference. We don't We don't really know. Right? That's the interesting thing about what we do, is that symptoms for a person, they're a guidepost, and they help us and they give us some feedback to what's going on, but ultimately it's the malfunction, because you could have two people that have the exact same lab scores or very, very similar, but their symptoms could be totally different. So when you're talking about intelligent allopathy or band-aiding or trying to trace symptoms, you can see the futility of that, because, oh, well, the underlying cause is the issue. That's what you want to be going after. That's what the lab testing gives you that insight into. So keep that in mind as overarching principle there. And then I was going to say, just as far as testing, I don't think Dutch even has ranges at this age either, or biohealth for children, because typically we don't run a lot of hormone tests on children. When you get in this age, 15, I think maybe that's the cutoff there where you start to have some decent information. So I'd say, point I'm making is that you can run a hormone test on somebody that age. Are you going to give hormone drops, recommend those potentially? Probably not, right? That's not something we're going to do. But can we support the other areas of the body and look at that test as a guidepost to say, yeah, we're on the right path here, and then retest to see how that's changing and shifting? You sure can. So it's okay to test on somebody younger, you know, but again, you're just not probably going to use any sort of major hormonal support because things are still shifting and changing. But can you use aspects of that test to give you some insight into what's going on? Sure. I think it's what we should do. So, yeah. So hopefully that's helpful to whoever wrote that in. I think it was a trainee on the trainee page there asking about that. And that's going to be a really common question or style of question you'll hear on this call. Can I help a person with blank?
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's a really common question we get. So, and Brendan hit that on the head in the very beginning. So the name, the diagnosis doesn't matter as much. Right, we need to be aware of this, right, who this person is, what they've been told they have, or how that thing is being treated. But then you got to come back and do FGM. That's the same thing, like it was with this client I'm talking about now. So that was a big thing for her. She wants to get off her diabetic medication. She wants to not have type 2 diabetes anymore, and she believes in the natural process and that it can be done, and she can do that. So, you know, you go to work, Right. So you run some labs, and I, see some things on that test that definitely point to some of the hallmarks you would see with somebody with diabetic situation or a lot of inflammation, things like that. That are going to see some clues there, but also some things that seem really far removed from some of the main complaints. So you have to trust what you're seeing there on the lab in that case. So there are some things going on in the gut, in her gut. They're like, well, okay, it doesn't seem directly related to always to some of these main complaints, but you never know. That's where we just would look at everything. Run the lab work, take a look at everything collectively. I still go when I'm going through labs. I'll still look at each lab individually. Well, back up here. This is my process that I go through when I'm evaluating a bunch of lab work. So I'm going to first go through all my intake forms and get a feel for who this person is. So like this 15-year-old with endometriosis, who's this 15-year-old girl? What's the home life like? What's her school situation? Body composition, things she's dealing with, diet, lifestyle things, all these things. Like, who is this person? How are they presenting, right? All of these things, the adrenal stress causes form, what stressors are in that person's life. You're starting to get a feel for who is this person, main complaints, relevant historical things that are going on, supplements they're taking, prescriptions they might be taking, over-the-counter medications they're taking. Who is this, so we'll just say this 15-year-old girl. Who is this 15-year-old girl, right? Then with each lab I've got, I'm going to take that lab, and I'm going to look at that lab somewhat as much as I can. It's hard to do this, but look at it in isolation and say, okay, what's going on with this 205 or this Dutch panel? I'm going to make my notes, what I'm seeing there. Clinical correlation is going to be popping already because I've got that person in my mind. Right. Don't look at labs and then try to go backwards. Who is this person? Symptoms are going to be connecting with the lab results there, and clinical correlation is just going like crazy. Write down some of that clinical correlation if you need to do that at this point in the game. After a while, it just becomes natural. You just point out clinical correlation like crazy. Then I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to put down what supplementation, actually probably overall just stress, but especially supplementation I might recommend based on what I'm seeing there. And, of course, anything that's in the diet realm or the exercise, the stress reduction realm, any of those things too, that's going to be part of the plan also at the end. But so I'll do that with each lab. Analyze it, see what things going on, write down a clinical correlation, and then supplementation. And then, like Brandon's saying here again too, very well stated, you back up and look at the big picture and the foundational things. So if I look and say, wow, here's 25 supplements that this person might do well with based on what I'm seeing on this lab work. Well, I can't recommend 25 supplements to somebody, right? That's just kind of crazy. You're way too heavy on the supplement side of DRESS, the five pillars. So I'm going to start to look at that and boil that down to less supplements, right? And things that are really necessary might not be – some things overlap also. So then at that point, I'm going to say, all right, I'm going to look at those supplements and see how they're going to be fitting into like a daily regimen. Can they take these supplements on a daily basis? Does this seem reasonable? Do we have any food sensitivities? Something I know about that I might want to do one product over the other. That's when I get down to real specific products. Look at ingredients, make sure those are all good and great, and try to craft the best you can, at least the supplement side of things, something that fits together real nicely, like pieces of the puzzle. And I'm going to go through my diet, rest, exercise, and stress reduction plan for that person. And that's going to be more or less my notes going into that R&R. And we'll go for the R&R. We'll see what happens, right? So in this case, definitely want to ask that girl lots of questions. I'm going to ask a lot of questions at the beginning of the R&R, make sure I'm squared away on what I know about that person, their history, because it is whose test results are these. That's one of my favorite phrases from Reed there. Whose test results are these? Who is this person? Labs together, gives us a plan, and then you walk that plan out. That's how I do it. I think it works pretty well. You'll find your own way of working, but that's what works well for me. I feel like all the bases are covered, and at the end I've got this wonderful, thing to present and a good plan together, and it's a blast. Hopefully you have fun doing R&Rs. Results and recommendation sessions. That is a really good time. You help help a lot of folks and connect a lot of dots and explain things for people. Why do I feel this way? Had another client today, and she had been on two or three medications for anxiety and depression. Once I started to explain, the gut-brain connection and neurotransmitters and amino acids and protein and hormones and how all these things interconnect. And it's like, oh, I had no idea. You know, most people don't know why they're on the medication they're on or what it's attempting to do. So education is key. Oh, there's a different way to think about this. This is why this is happening. Those are amazing moments to educate. All right. Hopefully that connected with that question I decided to talk about. So yeah, I can't, you know, I guess my original point there was that, yeah, you're going to have a lot of questions on this call. Can I help a person with X disease or X syndrome or X diagnosis? So think through it through the FDN lens and you'll be safe. You'll be okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Good stuff. Here's another one that might be along the same lines. Well, I will check to see if there's any hands raised. Not yet, but hey, a lot of you guys out there today. Boy, that's a full house. Cool. All right, so let's see here. This one. So is chronic fatigue syndrome the same as HPA axis dysfunction, or are they different?
Oh.
First time I've heard that question. Maybe. Go for it.
Yeah. All right. Chronic fatigue syndrome. I'm just going to drop a bomb on y'all right quick. So chronic fatigue, fibromyalgia, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, there is a lot of evidence and research, and what we're seeing is that, I don't know the exact statistic off the top of my head, but I want to say it was about like 80 or 90 plus percent of those with quote unquote chronic fatigue were actually positive for mycotoxicosis. In case you guys don't really follow me too much, mold, microbes, and methylation, that's kind of my whole area of focus these days. So I am really pretty deep into, seeking out the individuals with the chronic fatigue, with the fibromyalgia, with these long-term neurodegenerative diseases, because what we're really starting to see is that a lot of them are suffering from environmental acquired illness, biotoxin illness, even more specifically mold-related toxicity. So it's really pretty interesting stuff. But, you know, with chronic fatigue, first off, anything that's like a syndrome, you know, chronic fatigue syndrome, anytime it's a syndrome, we basically know, like conventional medicine, they don't know what's causing it, so they use the word syndrome to basically denote, hey, it happens often enough that we created a title for it. We don't know why it happens. It's just this syndrome, such as, you know, metabolic syndrome. What does that mean? It means you're unhealthy, overweight, and you need to work on your lifestyle, bro. But chronic fatigue, I'm telling you right now, that's where you guys are going to be wanting. If I have a client that writes chronic fatigue as one of their top five health complaints, I'm not just going to do my favorite organic acid that I do on everybody. I'm going to immediately also run a mycotox test because, again, let me put it this way. I've never had somebody with that type of health complaint not have some degree of mycotoxicosis or fungal-related dysfunction. So there could be a lot of other things going on. There always is, but that's kind of a big part of why I've really narrowed down my focus a little bit to mold, microbes, and methylation, is I just see so many of the things that we deal with kind of stem back to this kind of complicated network where, our hormones are going crazy, and we see that reflected on the Dutch in 205. We see the liver dysfunction. We see the heightened food reactivities. But, like, what's driving this? Especially when you have people that they are working on their health. They are, you know, doing dress. They are putting the effort in, and we're not quite moving the needle. And what I keep finding over and over is these people have a deeper degree of toxicity and impairment where, you know, it might be more of a biotoxin-driven dysfunction, you know, maybe some genetic susceptibility kind of sprinkled in there. So this is all, you know, kind of intertwining complex stuff that I'm teaching in my master course that launches November 1st. But anyways, yes, you know, could be related to quote-unquote adrenal dysfunction, but I don't think that's the primary issue. I think that's a secondary, tertiary, or even kind of quaternary dysfunction. And so really we got to keep working upstream, and that's where organic acid testing I find to be extremely valuable, as we can kind of read between the lines a little bit and sort of get to the heart of the dysfunction potentially a little bit faster by really deeply analyzing and assessing their microbes, their detox status, you know, toxin exposure status, detox capacity status. So I could talk about that all stuff all day, but some insights there that I think will lead you down the right path. And keep in mind, you know, even if you've never looked at an organic acid test in your life, you can order it through the medical director program and you get to meet with me. And I've been doing a lot of those lately and we have a lot of fun with it. So.
Mm-hmm. True. Good comments there. So, yeah, so one of those ones where, okay, can I help somebody with chronic fatigue syndrome? I think it falls in that category again, too. So I think really this question is interesting, but it really is more of an academic discussion than it is real practically, because when it comes down to, I like the academic side of things, as good as practitioners to think about these things, but if it comes down to, you know, boots on the ground, you're talking to somebody and working with the client, does it really matter? Right? That's what Brendan's sort of saying here also, is, hey, you've got to address this from multiple angles. It's just this big garbage can diagnosis that we have here, a name for something. It comes back to the basis, comes back to the FDN. So is it the same? Are they different? Doesn't really matter when it comes down to it. We're going to do FDN and address what's there, right? And I agree. It's probably, there's the chronic fatigue syndrome is the big thing, and then HPA axis dysfunction, that's going to be part of it. But there's many more facets to it to deal with. So, yeah, it's a... and I think I've found that most people now, when they come to me and write on their intake forms that they have a diagnosis of chronic fatigue syndrome, I think they kind of know it's a bunch of baloney or it's a garbage can diagnosis. That use the words out of their mouth. They're kind of like, I think they're disappointed that that's a diagnosis that they have, because they're looking for something a little more concrete, really. If you're going to get a diagnosis, I mean, give me something you can give me a pill for. Really, that's what we think a little bit, if we say it or not. They're looking for something more concrete. When they get a syndrome like that, I think people know it's kind of like, and really, I think a lot of practitioners are, or physicians are a little more open and truthful to say that, hey, we really don't know what's causing it. And that's sort of a good thing when it comes to what we do, because we can start to look at some of the underlying factors that can lead to the symptoms of chronic fatigue syndrome. I think it's a safe way to put that. It's what we're doing, right? The education side of things, dealing with those things. So, yeah, cool questions so far today. I like those. All right. Well, about 10 minutes left in the call today, and I've got a hand raised, so we'll see who we've got here. I've got 831 area code. What's your name and what's your question?
Hey, this is Jenny Miller in Monterey, California.
Hello, Jenny Miller.
Hello. Hi there.
Hi, guys. So, that was great what you were talking about with the chronic fatigue, and often there's some kind of mold toxicity going on. I'm finding that too. Just got three complex cases, and all three of them live in very upscale, beautiful homes. They were shocked when we did ERMES to find out that they had very, very high levels of toxic mold. And then we did the Great Plains test, and they got in the urine too. So I kind of spaced out there for a minute. I was distracted. Brenda, didn't you say that you're going to be having a master class on something like this?
So essentially I have been hard at work. I have a master course that I'm releasing in November. And it's called Mold, Microbes, and Methylation. It'll probably be about 10 to 15 hours, and it really just digs into that whole world. And so then I'm taking about 40% of that content and turning it into an FDN branded organic acid course. So really, like, the FDN oat course is really just part of a much bigger course that I'm kind of doing on my own. But, you know, there are going to be people that do both or one or the other or whatever, but it's been a fun project.
Cool. Okay, that's great. So is the FDN, or what you're doing with organic acids, is that the one that's going to be at the conference in November?
Yeah. So I'm okay. Trying to kind of tier it in a way that, you know, just serves everybody to the best of my abilities. So the, you know, the 4-hour live organic acid workshop, and then that gets you the FDN oat course, which is really just about organic acid interpretation and protocol design, which, again, that content that makes up the FDN course is really just part of about 40% of the content that makes up my master course, which is really more kind of a more a bigger thing that really dives deep into mold illness, a lot of different microbe issues, and then methylation and detox and genetics and all that, kind of this bigger system.
Love it. Well,
yeah,
that sounds great, right up my alley. So how are we going to know when that master course is available?
You know, it's my deadline is everything. All three things are going to go live at the same time, and I'll be
okay
talking about it at the conference and stuff. I did create a free
okay.
mold illness cheat sheet that's, you know, just a free download about mold illness. And then when people download it, they kind of subscribe to get updates for the course and all of that. So.
Okay. And that's on your website?
Sure is. Yep.
Okay. Okay, great. Thank you so much. I will check it out.
Sure. Love to see you there.
Cool.
Okay. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Good comments. Thanks, Jenny. All right.
Thank you.
Good stuff. Well, I like the idea of that because, you know, the two out of three of those words in your mold, microbes, and methylation, two out of three, those are some areas that I still like to learn more in, right? So we have an idea about methylation to mold. We know the microbes thing. I think we're pretty good at that with FDM. But, hey, a little mold side of things, the methylation side of things, those are some great things. So that's cool. So I'm sure we'll know about it when it comes out. So thanks for putting it together and helping us.
Yeah.
All
and
right.
I wrote a pretty thorough I've been told it's a little bit of a tearjerker, but I actually wrote a pretty thorough article called Is Mold Your Root Cause? It's the first article I've written in about 2 years. And really, it tells my story of, like, why am I so passionate about those three things, mold, microbes, and methylation. So, you know, it's really kind of a cool story, maybe a little bit sad, but also kind of inspiring. And it's really cool to see how it all kind of has come full circle into, you know, now me creating this master beast of a project with mold. And I'll be I feel weird talking about myself, but I do have an exciting announcement that I'm kind of proud of. So I just got confirmation that I'm going to be doing a 2-hour lecture on mold illness at a big conference in Denver in March, and I'm actually kind of doing it as, like, Jill Carnahan was supposed to do that presentation, but I think she backed out, and so then I got the opportunity to step in. So pretty exciting.
Oh, cool. Awesome. That is exciting. I'm glad you made that announcement. Somebody has to, right? That's cool, though.
Somebody's got to do
so
it.
So proud. That's what we want, right? We want FDN's doing awesome things. We love to highlight FDN's. You know, if you've written a book, you've got something in the course that you've put together, if you're speaking somewhere, if you've got something you're a part of, if you've got a documentary that's come out, if you're part of a summit or whatever, that's awesome for everybody. We want to cheer everybody on what they're doing. So to get to those heights and have that kind of exposure and be that qualified to do that, I know that's wasn't just, you know, you lucked into that one. That's been a lot of hard work to come together like that and putting yourself out there. So, you know, there's a aspect of being at the right place at the right time, but most of us just go old-fashioned hard work and treating people right, and that'll get you where you want to be in life. Really, it comes down to that. So, and congratulations, that's cool. I'm glad we've got an announcement here on the recording.
I really appreciate that, bro.
Yep, even logging the miles, I know. So, good stuff. Very good. Well, we'll keep you guys posted on that for sure. So, cool stuff. All right. Well, hey, 5 minutes left. I've got another caller here. Let's see if we can get this one in. 631 area code. What's your name?
Hi, it's Andrea. Can you hear me?
Hello.
Hi, Andrea.
Sure can.
Sure can.
Great. I am so excited to hear that Brandon is taking on and mastering this whole mold issue, because I got involved with FDN because of my illness with mold. And my question is, I don't know how much of what your teaching will coincide with the Schumacher protocol, but I'm curious as to any developments in through FDN or with whatever your training background is for to deal with the sort of heightened sense, the heightened acuity that happens with moldies, I call them moldies, and the November effect when we go into the fall, and the neurological effects just really seem to escalate. I've noticed this every year for myself over the last 6 years. And the sensitivity to mold becomes like, you know, it continues just to escalate that, you know, we're talking microscopic levels. You know, I test my space on a regular basis and this kind of thing. So I'm wondering if you're finding, I know you're going to say methylation and you're going to say detox and detox and detox, but anything else, because I've been following the protocols and I'm looking for, I don't know, I'm looking for a better outcome.
Yeah, you know, so obviously, you know, not being a licensed physician, I've never been trained by Schumacher, but certainly I'm pretty familiar with his work, and some of my friends and colleagues and stuff like that, you know, are, you know, Schumacher certified or whatever. You know, it's such a kind of complex situation, and there's even talk about kind of, you know, seasonal influence based on AMP kinase and mTOR being upregulated, downregulated, winter metabolism, summer metabolism, blah, blah, blah. There's almost like too much information. I think people are kind of getting lost in it, and I think sometimes some of the fundamentals get overlooked or some of the more basic concepts. So, like, one of the things that I see, like, we all use the binders, you know, we all use bile binders. We're all conscientious of enterohepatic recirculation and, you know, regular bowel movements and all that stuff. But a lot of times I think we kind of miss the mark on the status and health of our cell membranes. And so, you know, one of the modules in my course goes pretty deep into cell membrane status and fatty acid balance and eicosanoid modulation, where I think a lot of times these mold toxins, because I'm sure you've seen, you know, you get these clients that they've been ill for a long, long, long time, and, you know, the exposure might have happened like 5-10 years ago, and, it, yeah. You know, and they've been on the decline ever since. And it's like, you can literally, like, Google images and see what a toxic cell looks like when there are a lot of different toxins kind of chalked and packed and stuck, if you will, in the cell membrane. So I think one of the biggest things that, you know, because we could talk all the genetic and all the really dense, fancy, sciencey stuff all day and kind of get lost in it, but something that I don't see many people talking about that I find to be pretty important is the cell membranes and the fatty acids that make it up. So that's where, like, I think omega-3 index testing is extremely powerful, and looking at the EPA arachidonic ratio. I think using things like phosphatidylcholine can be extremely helpful to improve the fluidity of the cell membrane so we can actually start mobilizing these toxins out of it. And, you know, because the binders, those are the catchers, but before anything's going to catch anything, we got to pitch it. We got to pitch that ball. So anyways, a lot to it.
Cool. Well, hey, running out of time. Sorry, Andrew, we didn't get to maybe get a follow-up there just for time's sake, but, hey, you know, he's got a training, right? So just check that out there, a little teaser there, cliffhanger for you on that side of things. But, hey, that's our call today, guys. That's all the time we have. Wish we had more, but, hey, we'll do it again next week. And, Brendan, buddy, thanks for being on with me, man. Love you, and thanks for everything you do. And graduates, all four of you guys, Michelle, Anouk, Kara, and Mary. Awesome job. Thanks for the callers, too. And, guys, we'll talk to you next week. Have a good one.
Love you, Big D.